Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word. Ezekiel 22, verse 23. If you're all there, give a big amen. Again, a message came to me from the Lord. Son of man, give the people of Israel this message. In the day of my indignation, you'll be like a polluted land, land without rain. Your princes, which is interesting because the New King James says your prophets, your princes plot conspiracies just as lions stalk their prey. They devour innocent people, seizing treasures and extorting wealth. They make many widows in the land. Your princes have violated my instructions and defiled my holy things. They make no distinction between what is holy and what is not. And they teach my people, and they do not teach my people the difference between what is ceremonially clean and unclean. They disregard my Sabbath days so that I am dishonored among them. Your leaders are like wolves who tear apart their victims. They actually destroy people's lives for money. And your prophets cover up for them by announcing false visions and making lying predictions. They say my message is from the sovereign Lord when the Lord has not spoken a single word to them. Even common people oppress the poor, rob the needy, and deprive foreigners of justice. I looked for someone who might rebuild the wall of righteousness that guards the land. I searched for someone to stand in the gap in the wall so I wouldn't have to destroy the land, but I found no one. So now I will pour out my fury on them, consuming them with fire of my anger. I will heap on their heads the full penalty for all their sins. I, the sovereign Lord, have spoken. How encouraging. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for tonight. Thank you for gathering and assembling those that are here in this great sanctuary and those online. Those that will listen at a later date, we pray that you would mark us, that you would talk to us, that you would speak to us, making every man, woman, and child low, and you being glorified and magnified above all. Thank you for anointing your word and anointing me in these lips of clay. Holy Spirit, come. Increase your activity and have your way through this entire service, the remainder of the service. We thank you and we praise you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to turn to three or four people and say, I'm going to stand in the gap. Go ahead. Three or four people, you tell them. I'm going to make up the difference. Go ahead. I'm going to make up the difference. I'm going to stand in the gap. This prophecy, I've been spending time in the book of Ezekiel, and if you were here on Sunday night, New Year's, a week ago, I preached a prophetic word called the glory from the north. I will further develop that and re-preach it as God directs me. I'll be getting on an airplane. Your prayers for me and my wife and approximately 30 people that are heading off to Maui would be deeply appreciated as we leave this incredible work in the very capable hands of Pastor Kirsten and the entire staff here. And Bishop Hooks next week. One of the things that's different about Bishop Robert Hooks, and they call him Hitman Hooks. Why do they call him Hitman Hooks? Because he has such an accurate prophetic gift. It's like a hitman. He just doesn't miss. One of the things that's unusual about him, it took me a little bit to figure it out. But having spent time with him over the years, and I've known him, I first met him in 1996. He doesn't age. Does anybody else notice that? He's the ageless one. He still looks the same as he did in 1996, unlike others. And he's very different. He has this incredible heart of compassion. He's got what I would say is the love of the Father, is what he has. And it's clear and evident. And I got to talking with him on a trip a couple years ago, and I said, there's something very different about you, and I can't quite put my finger on it. I mean, I know you're filled with the love of God and everything, but I mean, like, something happened. So what was it? What happened? He said, interesting you should say that. He said, I went to heaven. I said, well, that would explain it. He literally was brought. He had preached morning services. He felt compelled to go back to the house where he was staying as a young evangelist. And he left, the house in the spirit, went through the roof, went straight to heaven, and spent time with the Lord. And God showed him a lot of things. Maybe he'll share some of that. And eventually he was... Well, they came to get him because he didn't show up for evening service, so they sent somebody to go find out if Bishop Robert Hooks was okay, and they knocked on the door. He showed me, he has a picture of the house, showed me the room where he stayed. And so they came and they knocked on the door, and when they opened the door, the glory of God just hit everybody in the house. People couldn't stand. He said, well, I don't know about that. That might be because you've never experienced anything like that, but just because you haven't experienced his power in that way doesn't mean it's not true. Somebody said, well, Kings is so different. Why is it? Because there's many people here who've been encountered by God, have been totally transformed by him. I love Ezekiel chapter 1, as I said numerous times now. The date, in fact, go to Ezekiel chapter 1. The New Living Translation says, on July 31st. Now, obviously, it's written in Hebrew, so you're reading a translation. How many of you know in the Jewish calendar, there's no July? I don't know what the equivalent is, but translators took the text, translated it to be July 31st. There's a specific day, July 31st, in the 13th, of my 13th year, while I was with the Judean exiles beside the Kabar River in Babylon, that the heavens were open, and I saw visions of God. This happened during the fifth year of the king Jehoiachin's captivity. So he gives a specific date. A specific day God came and took Bishop Robert Hooks to heaven. I have a specific date for me and the encounter that I've had and numerous encounters that I've had. Some are broader, wider, deeper than others. And I have all the confidence and all the faith to know that there are further encounters that are going to take place for me and for you and for us. And it could happen tonight. Don't ever come to a service here with a ho-hum spirit. Just sort of like, well, I wonder how long he's going to preach for. You guys want to go to Chapo's later? Maybe he'll be done by 7:30. I'm not going to be done by 7:30. And it doesn't necessarily mean we're going long. I want you to come, if I could teach you to come, like that 10-year-old who was on an airplane for the very first time. He's getting on. He's totally freaked out with his mom and his dad. And his eyes are like giant saucers. And he comes on the plane. He's like... And he looks into the cabin. And it doesn't take much discernment from a flight attendant to go, oh, hi, honey. Is it your first time on the plane? Well, how would you know that? His tongue's hanging out of his mouth. He's practically hyperventilating. His eyes are like silver dollars, and he's staring at the cockpit. And they usually say, would you like to see the cockpit? I've been in many, many planes where this has happened. And they're like, uh-huh. And they're like, okay. And then the pilot comes out, hey, I got some wings for you. And they give you wings, and they pin it on, and then they bring the kid in, they show him the whole instrument panel. And he's just totally blown away. Let me just tell you, when I get on an airplane now, that is not how I get on an airplane. I have a specific way I'm getting on the airplane, but it's not like that. When I get on an airplane now, I anoint the airplane when I'm getting on. I always ask the Lord, you still want me on the plane? I ask him every time. And I have yet to have him say, no, get off the plane. So I say, you still want me on the plane? I'm like, all right, we've got peace, I get on the plane. I walk in, and it's usually Alaskan Airlines, and I say, hello, Alaskan Airlines family, and they're like, hey, and I know some of them. I'm like, hey, and I go and I sit down. I know how it all works. I got my little systems of where stuff goes. And it's relatively boring, and many times I miss a takeoff because I'm like, and I wake up, I'm like, oh, we're in the air. A 10-year-old who's driving in his first airplane doesn't do that. He comes with this expectancy and anticipation. Come to church like that. That will release the power of God. Expectancy is the seedbed for miracles. If you come bored out of your mind, I've had somebody tell me, well, I'm just not getting fed at church anymore. That's on you, Slim. If your heart gets dull and you lose your vibrancy and you lose your love for the word, then it'll be boring. God has an encounter for us. God has power and transformation for us in 2024. I shared with our leaders just this past Saturday, we had apparently the greatest leaders rally we've ever had. Isn't that great? Isn't it good to improve and grow? And so we had many people say, oh, that was the best one. I've had over a dozen leaders say, that was the best rally I've ever been to. And we're encouraged by that. I shared with them about the call. God calls you. God calls me. And this morning, we talked about how he's chosen us. Come on, someone say, I'm chosen. That's important to know. You have a deep need, and I didn't say want, I said need. You have a deep need to know that you are important, that you are included, that God's got a plan, He has significance for you. You need to know that. You have a deep need to know that you are significant in the plan of God. You are not some scrub. You're not some dirtbag. You're not some throwaway. You're made in his image, and he redeemed you not with jewels or gold, but with the precious blood, and called you to be a part of a kingdom of priests. He called you to be saved, born again, spirit-filled, and being used by him. You have a divine assignment, a divine appointment from God to fulfill in the earth for the time period that you're alive. This is not some little dress rehearsal. It is an internship, I will say that. 70, 80, I'm going to go for 120 years. And then you graduate, and then you can go on to the hereafter, which is eternity, and that is forever. This is a time of training for ruling and reigning. Can I get an amen? Let's move to this text so that God's glory is being manifested, and God calls Ezekiel, and he calls every one of us. I'd be remiss if I didn't say that Ezekiel was 30 years old there in chapter 1, supposed to be a priest, but he's not at the temple. He's a captive. He's a slave. He's not in Jerusalem, he's in Babylon. He's been taken into captivity because of the sins of the people and the forefathers. And in fact, here he lists the sins of these four different groups of people, not unlike today, which is why we're going to look at it. And it's a beautiful picture of how God doesn't forget. At 30 years old, he's 30, he should be going into the priesthood, and God gives him a vision. God hasn't forgotten you. Come on, I want you to say that God knows me. Come on, say, he hasn't forgotten me. This prophecy came forth about 600 BC, so 2,600 or so years ago. The end verses that we read, Ezekiel 22, said, so I look for someone who might rebuild a wall of righteousness that guards the land. A wall of righteousness. Walls protected cities. You have a front door? How many of you have a front door? You probably have a lock on it. I not only have a lock on my front door, I have a lock and I have lots of guns. It doesn't take me but one step to get to a weapon in my house. Maybe two, depends on where you're standing. Literally, that would be the same. If I'm by the door, I don't even have to step. It's right there. Same in my bedside. How many of you have this? Come on, we're Alaskans, man. It'd be a grizzly or something. It'd be God. People don't usually do home intrusions. It's just, you got to be seriously brain damaged to do a home intrusion in Alaska. So I have a front door. I've got a lock. A wall is a picture of protection. And it was broken down in Ezekiel's day. What's being described here is this picture of no protection around the people because of the leaders, because of the priests, because of the commoners, because of the prophets, because of priests. There's no protection. The Lord is looking for someone who can put himself in the gap and make up a difference. Let me read this to you. Ezekiel 13, verses 3. Thus says the Lord God, woe to the foolish prophets who follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. New King James, O Israel, your prophets are like foxes in the desert. Verse 5, you've not gone up into the gaps to build a wall for the house of Israel to stand in battle in the day of the Lord. There's a number of things. One, the wall's broken down, but two, you see the purpose of these priests, these prophets, these leaders are supposed to step up into the gap. They're supposed to do something. They're supposed to make a difference. One of the reasons America is in such difficulty is the priests, the prophets, the princes, the common people have just been deceived. The wall is for protection. And to stand in the gap is to fix it. So it's like if you had no wall, you'd be standing there with your Smith & Wesson. You might not have a door, but you're standing there. So the cold air might be coming in, it's not ideal, but ain't nobody getting by you. That's the picture. Historical background and context. Before I share that with you, let me say that God is looking for people who will stand in the gap. I have pledged my life to do it. I'll do it all of my life. This church is a watchman type church. We have a watchman call. When we preach here, whether it be me or one of my staff, or one of the great guests that we have, we're preaching to America. You'll hear messages from America. It's not just about our local area, which I'm thankful for our local area. God bless Alaska. God bless Wasilla, Palmer, the surrounding area. But we're placed here at the very head, the very top, like a royal diadem, like a crown on top of the continent of the United States, the North American continent. The United States of America are very unusual. We're positioned strategically. I remember having a visit with a tremendous prophet years ago, and they said as they were prophesying, God's power swept in the room and were weeping, and they prophesied, you have been positioned there as a strategic defense. Military knows that. That's why we've got military bases and the highest level of technology all up and down the coastline of Alaska. It's important. And the same is true in the spirit as it is in the natural. It is in the spirit. We have a role to fulfill as a watchman church, as a watchman people, to stand up in the gap and make a difference. So what does that mean? It means a lot. It means praying, yes, but beyond praying, it means taking action. It means making a difference in every area. We will, and we have started, but it'll continue to get broader and wider and deeper. We will affect every area of influence in this state. It'll affect also the lower 48. We are breaking into the school. We're starting our own school. We're breaking in, and I mean that, I don't mean like violently breaking in, spiritually penetrating darkness through education. I'm so excited about our school. It'll start in the fall. We're going to start as large as we can. We'll see. You'll see that rollout by February, March. We'll have a rollout. We have websites being designed as we speak. The whole thing's coming together, and we're going to start. Is it a preschool? So we're starting with a preschool. All right, we're going to start with a preschool, and then we'll add grades, and we'll add more grades, and soon we'll have a whole high school. Could be that God will give us this property over here. We'll build a gym down below. We'll have a massive school that'll impact. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. How's that going to happen? The same way everything else happened, by faith. I'm thankful for the transformations and breaking into social services arm and our Lucille building that we're currently using for that. We had somebody that wanted to buy it, but they lowballed us, so we said, no, thank you, and we're using it as a social services arm, which we will do as long as the Lord leads us to do that. There's only about $500,000 to pay off on a $2.5 million piece of property, and if you want to drop that in the offering at some point, you can do that as well. And if that gets said, we'll just burn the mortgage on that one too. Maybe we have multiple mortgage burnings. Are you crazy, Pastor? Absolutely. Yes. Crazy for God, full of faith. God can change things. God can rebuild the wall. God can change America. He changed your life. He can change somebody else's. He changed my life. He can change anybody's. He can heal the sick, raise the dead, set the captives free. He can turn America around. Context. Israel's broken into two nations at this time. Northern tribe, 10 tribes. Northern kingdom are 10 tribes. Southern kingdom, Judah and Benjamin, mostly Judah. Solomon's sons, and I remember this. I remember the quote from Dr. Morocco, the Boam boys. Rehoboam and Jeroboam. Rehoboam to the north, Jeroboam to the north, Rehoboam to the south. Northern kingdom in 721 BC, Assyria comes and destroys. And they're no longer heard from. They're called the diaspora. There's 10 tribes, and they're scattered all over the world. Those 10 tribes have been returning to Israel in droves for years and years. They're all over. Amazing. Lost tribes of Israel. You can go to YouTube. There's some great YouTube footage there. You just have to be discerning about some of that. Southern kingdom struggle. Politically, Assyria is waning, and Egypt again was on the rise. What's happening at the time of this writing? There's power politics in Judah. And Babylon took over Egypt and Jerusalem and Judea. They took Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and the start of the 7 years of captivity. And during those 7 years of captivity, there was people that were saying, no, it's going to be okay, man. Judah's going to rise back up. We're back. The Lord's with us. Well, the Lord was not with them, and Judah was not going to rise. And they went and got trounced, and that's when everything got burnt, torched. They were wrong. There was people telling him, oh, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. And it wasn't going to be okay. And he was speaking to that. There were still people in Judah that had a lying spirit. This is the context in which these prophetic words came. And there's four groups of people right from the text. Verse 28. Look at verse 28 with me. Ezekiel 22 and verse 28. Well, depending upon what version you have, and you'll have to forgive me, I don't have the original language here to look at it, but says your princes in the New Living Translation. It says your prophets in the New King James. And then verse 28, it says your prophets in the New Living as well as in the New King James. Conspiracy of her prophets, verse 25, or their princes, depends on what version. In her midst are like a roaring lion. It's a picture of them being like Satan himself, who prowls around like a roaring lion. There are leaders that are prowling around like roaring lions. Oh, I don't mean here. I mean in other places. And if somebody tries to become a lion here, we neuter them and get them healed. Meow. What happened? But throughout America, it's this violent picture of false visions and lying words and destruction. Verse 28, her prophets plastered them with untempered mortar, seeing false visions. New Living, your prophets cover up for them by announcing false visions and making lying predictions, saying, my message is from the sovereign Lord, when the Lord has not spoken a single word to them. I mean, it's just so intense. They prophesy their own ideas. Second group of people, verse 26. Look at verse 26. Your priests. The priest's job in the Old Testament was to distinguish between that which is holy and that which is unholy, mostly. And of course, they had priestly duties. And it says that they're not doing that. What would be the equivalent of a priest today would be a pastor. And I will tell you, it is absolutely shocking to me how in mainline denominations, I guess I shouldn't be shocked, but I just am. I'm like, do you even read the Bible? And the answer is no. How can you endorse same-sex marriage and be on this side of eternity with the Word of God? How can you endorse things that are clearly not endorsed in Scripture? I mean, you just have to cross it out. No fear of God. Wow. Princes are a picture of governmental leaders, verse 27. Like wolves tearing the prey. My God, politics is like that. Your princes or your leaders like wolves who tear apart their victims. They actually destroy people's lives for money. Does that sound familiar? Because it's the same spirit that's in operation today in America and in the nations of the world. People of the land of the commoners, verse 29, have used oppressions. In the midst of all of these atrocities, without continuing on, and all of them have parallels today, the same. You say, why is that? How could that be 2,600 years ago? How is that possible that a prophecy 2,600 years ago to Israel actually is applicable now? Well, the Word of God is timeless, and human nature is the same. And demon power, demons, they're the same. Greed is the same as it was back then. Lust is the same now as it was back then. There's no new tricks. It's just the same ugly one. In the midst of these atrocities, the crushed down world, the cry of the heart of God is that he would find some people who would stand in the gap. He'd find some people loaded not with the 45 or with a shotgun or a locked door, but loaded with something much more powerful than that, the power and the authority of the word and the blood. He's looking for people who would stand in the gap on behalf of the Lord. And I see here at Kings a whole group of leaders being raised up that are full of fire, full of power, full of passion, willing to go up and make a difference, willing to go up and stand in the gap. That is what God is looking for. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm simply saying this, that the Word of God is like a wall. It's like truth all around us. It protects us. I didn't just pick a random, it's okay. I didn't just pick, you know, encourage you to get you to get in the Word for no reason. It's amazing. I'm doing both reading plans. I was just doing one, but I thought, well, I guess I'll do the one that my wife really likes also. And so I'm combining all those, and I'm doing all of them. And so I'm reading more, getting in the Word more than I ever have before. That's not entirely true. I've had seasons where I've just devoured whole books, just devoured the Word. Amen. Why would I encourage you to do that? Because the word of God will change you. It's not some cute little religious thing. We just read the word today. We just read the word. Did you read the word? No, that's not it. That's nice and everything. It's actually that you would hear the word and it would come alive on the inside of you. And it would change the way that you live and transform the way that you think so that you can be someone who makes up a wall. The word is like a wall of protection. And the wall around America has been broken. The wall around many people's homes have been broken. Not long ago, I had somebody say to me, you know, Pastor, I'm starting to believe some of the stuff you're saying. I was like, I don't know how they thought I was going to respond. I'm spirit-filled, so I responded, well, it's a miracle. Proof that I had no else to wake people up. Preach the word. You know, it's God's word. It goes forth and it's got power and fire. It does something. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. So you need to get that in your spirit. You need to speak it. You know how you know when people are in the word? When they pray and you hear it. If you pray and the word's not coming out of your mouth, most likely you're not in it. And let me say this. Get in the word so much that when you speak, when you pray, it comes out of your mouth. Get in it so that it's part of your language, part of your speech. So when somebody says, you can't do that, you'd be like, you know that ain't right because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Come on. You vibing with me tonight? No cat. If you believe a lie, you're going to be destroyed. The word of God is a wall. The word of God is truth. It protects us. If you don't know truth, you'll settle for a lie. It's fascinating that you see when Moses goes up the mountain, it was God's intention that all the Israel leaders should go up with him. They go that one time, but they get totally freaked out. So he goes up the next time, and they're like, no, you go. We'll stay back here. You go and you just let us know what he says. Moses goes up. He's gone for a long time. And they want to have church. So Aaron leads everybody, says, you know what? Let's have a festival to the Lord. That's YHWH. It's not let's have an idolatrous orgy. That's not what it says. Let's have a festival to the Lord God Almighty that can be interpreted no other way. Right there in the book of Exodus, YHWH, a tetragrammatron. It cannot be interpreted any other way. When you come to that in Hebrew, you say Adonai. So he says, let's have a festival to Adonai. He doesn't say, let's have a festival to the golden calf. Listen closely. So they're going to have this festival, but they don't really know how to do that because Moses isn't back, and they're not sure if he's coming back, and he's going to bring the Ten Commandments, but they don't know what's going on. He's delayed, and they're like, we want to have church. And so they have a festival to the Lord God, the one who brought them out of Egypt. You go read this text. And so they brought him gold, and he makes a golden calf. Hear, O Israel, is the golden calf, the Lord God who brought you out. The calf in Egypt was a bull deity. God brought them out of Egypt. They still had a lot of bull in them. And God brought you out, but some of you still have a lot of bull in you. Some of you still have an opinion about how you think it should be. But you've not settled that. You've not gotten the word. So you have an opinion of how God is and how you should be in God when you haven't really actually read the word and had an encounter with him. Or you're not willing to go all the way because you just remove and cherry pick some things. Romans talks about this. Romans talks about they did not acknowledge God as God and became futile in their thinking. If you don't go all the way with the word and learn the word and grow in the word, study the word, then you can end up futile in your thinking. The word is truth. If you end up believing a lie, you are going to be destroyed. Well, that's encouraging. Let's move on. It's Truly, the only protection we have is truth, Spirit of God. Truth. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, the life, the living word. God has spoken to us through his word, by his spirit. The word is with God, the word was God. God is our protector. God is the word. In the beginning was the word, and the word is with God, and the word was God. So you ought to learn about God. You ought to learn the word, because the word is God. We've got to somehow let truth permeate our lives. We've got a lot of kids here tonight, and we're glad. Sunday night, we have a lot of children, family night. I'm not going to go much longer. But please, please, please teach your children the word. Spend time in the word with them. Pray with them. Teach them the books of the Bible. Teach them the gospel. Teach them, because it'll hold them. You build in their lives what is called a spiritual moral warehouse. They're so full of the word that they know what is right and what is wrong, not because they're going to get in trouble with you, but they know what God says, and it gives them the fear of God. What are some of the things that God's calling us to do personally? Well, it's get in the word. And not only get in the word, but to pray the word and to make a difference. You not only should be warned about getting in the word, but apply it to your life. Is there anything in your life that's out of agreement with the word? If there is, you should fix it or suffer the consequences. Everybody say, I'm going to know the word. There's three things I want to give you here. Know the word, because it'll make a wall of protection around you. Number two, live the word. James 1 and verse 22 says, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. If anyone's a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his face in a mirror, natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this one will be blessed in all he does. You want to be blessed in all you do? Learn the word, do the word, don't forget the word, speak the word, act on the word. That's sort of rigid, Pastor. You can call it what you want, it just works. Well, I don't know if that's true. Well, if you want to take another lap around the mountain, go for it. I'm all done doing that. I've done that. It's not so nice on the other side of the mountain, backside of the desert. Thank God he gives you shoes and provides for you and leads you. I'm going into the promised land. I've gone in. I'm going to keep going in. I'm going to take my mountain, so help me, God. I'm going to fulfill what God called me to do. I'm not going to play tiddlywinks on the backside of the desert. Just thank God for a little bit of scraps. I'm going in. How about you? You want to go in? You got to know the word. You got to know the word. Learn the word. You got to speak the word. You got to live the word. You got to share the word. Number three, everybody say, share it. Share. A while back, I heard somebody witness to somebody else. I happened to be with them, and I never heard one scripture. I never heard one. They just said, you know, God's good. And like, yeah, God's good and he loves you. Okay, that's scriptural. And like, he really loves you. And he loves you. Can I pray for you? Oh, yeah, that's great. I mean, that's good. I'm glad for the boldness and everything. But for God's sake, give him scripture. Because scripture has power and your simple words don't. The wages of sin is death. That has power. It's like, ooh, wages. I get paid wages. So whatever the wages that I get paid if I'm in sin is death. I don't want that. It does something. It has power. The gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. It has power. The word has power. Share the word. There's people that'll go to hell because nobody shared the word with them. May nobody go to hell from the state of Alaska. Can you say a big amen? So it's important that we share. We're on the brink of an awakening. I really believe we're on the brink of an awakening. Heidi, you want to jump on the keys for me, please? Minister Heidi. We're on the brink of a great awakening. I believe that. We don't know the time frame. What's at stake? Possibility of losing the harvest. The enemy comes and offers substitutes, and he has all kinds of people to offer it through all kinds of means. There is no substitute for right relationship with God. No amount of money can give it to you. No relationship can offer you satisfaction. Satisfaction and fulfillment only comes from God. Our job is to stand in the gap. And protect our families. And to expand the territory of heaven.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com. And may God's face shine upon you.